Support for NPR podcasts comes from Acura, featuring the TL Type S with a 286-horsepower V6 and real-time traffic alerts. Learn more at Acura.com.
Welcome to World Cafe Words and Music from WXBN. I'm David Dye. Let's be honest. No matter what she does on her own, my guest, Patti Schiaffa, will always be best known as Bruce Springsteen's wife and a backing vocalist for his E Street Band. And that's a shame, because Schiaffa has just released her third solo album to glowing reviews. Play It As It Lays has a southern, soulful sound that lends itself to the album's dominant themes, love and heartbreak. Tom Jurek of the online All Music Guide writes, Play It As It Lays is without a doubt the record where Schiaffa gives us the full fruit of her exceptional gift as a writer, a singer, as an artist. Let's start our session with a live performance of the album's opening track, Looking for Elvis. Looking for Elvis live on the World Cafe today. That is from Play It As It Lays, the third solo album from Patti Schiaffa. And one of the things about this album is that there are fabulous background vocal arrangements throughout, all different kinds and styles, doulangs and everything on this album. Now, you and Lisa, I know, and Susie, you used to sing on the street in New York?
We did. We used to have this street band, and we called ourselves Trickster. I think it was from the Jungian, you know, psychological chapter of, you know, the trickster phase. And we were a little heady back then, headiness of youth. And we used to sing on street corners and support ourselves that way.
And did you make more money doing that than
I heard? Not more money than I make in the East Street Band.
That's got to be true. Well, the song on this album that really jumps out on me is Like Any Woman Would, which I just think is a great song. And I understand that title, at least, has been around for a long time.
Yeah, I had that title when I was taking, I just thought of this. Cliff Carter and I made a demo of a song I'd written called Like Any Woman Would when I was 19. And that was the first demo that I took up to record companies, where you'd go in with your reel-to-reel and drop them off. You could just walk in and drop them off at the A&R departments. I always liked the title, so I just kept the title. Everything else is different. You know, I wrote words and a new melody, and I liked that for a chorus. And it's kind of a celebratory song in a funny way, even though there are lyrics in it that might make you think it's sad, but it was a celebration of your own power.
Well, let's listen. This is a great song. This is Like Any Woman Would.
Thank you. He won me carnival gifts for my love, a jackknife for protection, a rabbit's foot for luck. And while fortunes will turn round, we emptied our pockets, put all that we had down. I was thinking about that movie, the rose tattoo, we remind.
Cry. like any woman would, live performance today from our guest. Patty Scialfa has joined us on the cafe with this a great band with music from Play It As It Lays, the new album. Patty, where did you grow up in North Jersey, but where did you grow up?
Not North Jersey. I grew up in, it would be central, but on the coast.
Oh, okay.
A few miles north of Asbury Park. I grew up in a small town called Oakhurst. And then I think when I was in sixth grade, we moved to Deal, which was a few miles away from that, which is, again, right on the water.
What did your parents do?
My parents were, they worked together. And my father was an entrepreneur. My mother helped him with his business. He started out in a TV shop selling televisions and electronics, and then just expanding to, properties and hotels and stuff like that.
But it wasn't music.
No.
No. Where did that come in?
Just the visual of my parents playing guitar together. Just, you caught me for a second there. My grandfather, Jerome Morris, was a well-known songwriter in England. He was English. And he wrote for a very famous cabaret singer at the time, was many records out, Maria Lloyd. And he was well known for writing songs for her. She was very, very famous at the time. So it was a big, like, if I go on the internet and look him up, I can find his name and the songs that he's written for her. And he was just a very, very talented artistic man.
What was your relationship with him like?
It was wonderful. In fact, it was, my parents both worked, and they worked long hours. So my grandparents helped raise me, and my grandfather, at this point, he had stopped writing for a living, but he would sit every day at the piano with a cigarette dangling from his mouth, and the piano had all like butt stains all over it, you know, like when you put your cigarette butt down and you see them in a row, all the charcoal marks. And he would just sit there writing all day, and I'd sit on the bench with him, and he would just, hey, what ending do you like better? He would always ask my opinion, and it was my first realization of an adult encounter of where your opinion matters, and he was doing something creative every day, and that was very poignant to me.
Wow. No, you know, when you were you talked about auditioning for record companies early on, were you always writing at that point?
I was writing it. I think I made my first demo at 18, because I remember thinking I wanted to get a contract before I was 20. I thought that was the big line, that you'd had to have a record out before you're 20. So I was taking things up to the city in my late teens, and it's getting, Warner Brothers, who gave me some money to make a demo, and Atlantic Records one time gave me some money to make a demo, but to make recordings for them to see if they would sign me. But I was a bit unorganized. You know, I just go in by myself. I didn't really, I think if I had had some more people around me to help me focus and maybe I could have gotten a contract sooner.
Hmm. Now, I understand even in that area, you auditioned for the E Street Band, but you didn't make it that time?
I did. Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because it's something that I forget about. And when I started working with the E Street Band, I'd literally forgotten that I had auditioned. And Roy came up to me one night, the Born USA tour, and he said, "Didn't you audition like years ago, come to Jersey?" My memory jogged my memory, and I said, "Yeah, I did," and I'd just completely forgotten. But I did. I went in about, God, I don't even know what album they were working on, but they didn't end up taking a woman on the road. But I did audition.
Well, and of course, now you know with this album, I mean, the tables are turned. It's Bruce in your band. What's that dynamic like when he works on this?
No, what do you mean?
Well,
when he works
on this one
in the studio.
Yeah.
It's a very natural thing to happen. We have a recording studio on our property. It's not a recording studio per se. It's just a house that has gear in it. So it's very natural to, I'll be working in there, and all of a sudden, maybe just Steve and I will be in there with Cliff and we don't have a bass player, and I'll say, "Oh, could you come over and just play a bass line on this? Let me just see what this sounds like." So it happens in a really organic way. It's a very natural, spontaneous, easy and inexpensive way to get players on my record.
Now, the album is called Play It As It Lays, which is the title of the Joan Didion book. How does her book relate to the title or to the song?
Well, I just always really liked Joan Didion's writing, and they don't really relate, but I just thought it was a great title, and I've always been a fan of hers, and I needed a hook, and I had the verses. And then the book was lying around on my desk, because I always keep her books around, and I thought, ooh, maybe I can just play it as it lays for my chorus. So, those things kind of just happened. They just happen organically.
A lot of this album seems really personal. This song in particular does. What's it like for you to kind of reveal yourself as a songwriter? I mean, we talk about these mythic qualities, but then there's the personal end of it, too.
Well, I like writing in that vein because for me to feel like I'm connecting to my own music, it really has to come from something that I have experienced, and maybe it's something that I'm in a quandary about or have some conflict over, and the process of writing it's like self-parenting in a way. It clears up the idea, puts it in order. So for me, that emotions have always connected me to music. Music has always been a very emotional outlet in my life. So I just feel that I can't write fiction really well. Of course, there's always a lot of fiction. There's a kernel of truth, and then you have to flesh out the song. So you do write your fiction there. But for me, it always has to begin in something that was really touched you.
This is Play It As It Lays.
Sad song on the radio, echoes down this empty road here tonight. With lost melody and a lonely rhyme, a windshield wiper slapping time, another one. Woke up something that was sleeping below my skin. Tell you so much, but where do I start? Where do I begin? Do I start with how I lost my kindness and how I found it once again? And I'm just gonna play it as it lays.
That's my guest, Patti Schiaffa, performing the title track of her new album, Play It As It Lays. I'm David Dye. World Cafe Words and Music from WXBN is produced at WXBN in Philadelphia at xbn.org. To hear my complete conversation with Patti Schiaffa along with full performances, visit worldcafe.npr.org. Thanks for listening. World Cafe is streamed live every Monday through Friday between 2 and 4 p.m. Eastern. You can hear it at xbn.org.